Please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 11 and verse 28. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And the subject before us this morning is Jesus the Lord, the inviting Saviour, the inviting Saviour. Now, as you know, the worth of an invitation depends upon the motive and the authority of the person given it. Sometimes we may say, "Oh, you must come to us." But then we fail to make a date. And perhaps the person to whom we have spoken to begins to question the sincerity of that invitation. But here, the Lord Jesus, the person who invites us to trust and follow and come to him, is the Son of God, made man. He is perfect. He is holy. He is sincere. He is infinite in wisdom and knowledge and power. He has the authority to give you this invitation. He is the only Saviour of sinners who have offended an almighty God. There is none other that have the authority and the right to say, "Come to me as your Saviour." The Saviour has earned the right to invite us as needy sinners to come to him. He has paid the penalty that was due to us. He has endured the wrath of God on the sinner's behalf. He has gotten the victory over sin and death and hell. He's risen again, victorious. We know that the objective and the direction of this wonderful person given the invitation is to deliver us from Satan, to deliver us from the just wrath of God, and to grant to us forgiveness of sin, peace with God, and heaven at last. Oh, the security then, and the sincerity of the person given the invitation. Oh, the invitation to come to the Lord Jesus has been sealed with the very blood of Christ, and it has an eternal validity to it. It is stamped, it is sealed with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, the assurance then of the person given this invitation. Back in the book of Genesis, we read of Joseph and Pharaoh. And when the people needed bread, when the people needed the food, he had one answer to them: go to Joseph. And so there is one answer this morning. As a needy sinner, go to Jesus. He is the man to go to for help. And this morning, I would like to consider some of the invitations of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to encourage you by showing to you their wholesome, sincere, and blessed nature. Now, we may be quite selective who we invite to our home, but the Lord's invitations are, "Whosoever will, let him come." What an amazing fact this is. What an amazing truth. Would you say whosoever wants to come can come to my house? But the Lord Jesus looks into this needy, sin-sick world, millions and millions of sinners, and the invitation goes out: "Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, whosoever will." What an amazing Saviour, What an amazing invitation then. So let's look at some of these invitations. We've read the first one in Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 to 30. And here we have the Saviour's compassionate invitation. Here Jesus is reaching out to you who are bowed down with sin and the guilt of that sin. You are convicted. You are heavy laden, weary of sin, weary of failure, weary with the attractions of this world. Those who have been on lockdown, perhaps you have been tempted to get involved in watching all sorts of stuff, and now you recognize the vanity of it all. And you're bowed down with care, with uncertainty. And the Lord Jesus invites you to live with him, to come to him, to walk with him, in partnership with him, yoked to him by faith. Take my yoke upon you. Walk and work with him as your leader. In this union, Christ himself is yoked, committed to your cause, your spiritual well-being. Your very best interests are at his very heart. We will be on a journey of constantly learning about Christ, also about yourself, what you are really like. And this brings a greater dependence upon the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, as you come to him and you accept this invitation and you realise that he and he alone is the answer to your great need this morning, as you come to him, you are delivered from the bondage of Satan. You are no longer enslaved to Satan. You are no longer enslaved to the driven aspirations of this world. You are no longer under the condemnation of the law. You are free to take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Union with Christ. This is so essential for us. The Saviour's compassionate invitation, understanding where we are and our great need. Secondly, I want to look at the Saviour's forgiving invitation. We go back into the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, and we read, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And in the book of the prophet Isaiah, there are so many gospel applications that can be made. And this invitation is undoubtedly a gospel invitation. The Lord says to us, come now, and let us reason together. There will be a tremendous change if you come to the Lord as you are, seeking his forgiveness. This invitation has to do with the transformation fruit of forgiveness and cleansing. You know, it teaches us here that if we come to Christ, there is no sin stain so deep, there is no sin stain so ingrained that it cannot be dealt with. Well, you know how it is. There are adverts for deep stain removal and how successful they are. You know, the deep muddied shirt, football shirt, and then it's suddenly white. And you know, all these type of adverts. Well, there is no sin stain so deep that Christ cannot deal with it. And the Lord here condescends to hold a meeting in your mind. You are thinking about your wretched condition. You know that you have been an enemy of God. You have been rebellious and self-willed and proud and arrogant and hateful and idolatrous. Maybe you are in a backslidden condition as a believer this morning. And you've come to realize the slide that you have been on. And the Lord in his mercy is bringing you under conviction to bring you back. And the Lord says to you this morning, let's have a meeting at Calvary. Let's deal with this matter of your sin. Let us reason together. Come now, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. And this is going to be the subject of our conversation, our reasoning. Yes, your sins are as scarlet, but in Christ Jesus they shall be as white as snow. Your sins are red like crimson, but they shall be as wool in Christ Jesus. I will transform you, I will change you, I will renew, I will forgive, I will bring, I will deal with all that you bring to me, however deep the stain. And so we have the Saviour's compassionate invitation, the Saviour's forgiving invitation, and now I want to look at the Saviour's fulfilling invitation. If we turn to John chapter 7 and verse 37, we read, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now, this statement was made at the Feast of the Tabernacles. It was a time of great celebration. It was a family time. It was a holiday occasion. But now it was the last day of the gathering. And the last day was to be treated as a Sabbath day for serious reflection upon life and the history of God's dealings with the nation. And the tradition was to take water from the pool of Siloam and carry it to the temple in ceremony with trumpets sounding. It was to remind them of the water that God gave the children of Israel from the rock in the wilderness in the days of Moses. And this event spoke symbolically of Christ the Messiah's spiritual provision. It was speaking of the future messianic hope of abundant blessing in him. But now Jesus Christ the Messiah is before them in person. The Son of God is before them in the flesh, the Saviour of the world. And knowing the hearts and the minds of all men, he looks upon the crowd with great compassion as the Good Shepherd. Before him were many thirsting after meaning and purpose in life, bowed down with all the Jewish rules and regulations. And they were sinners living a life of religious tradition. And it wasn't fulfilling them. It wasn't dealing with the deep problem that they had within their lives. It was simply a tradition. It was rules. It was regulations. And they'd lost sight of the meaning of even of the ceremonial sacrifices and what they meant. So here, on the last day of the feast, they realize that they've got to go back home, back to their problems, back to the reality of the wearisome life and the emptiness that they felt. And Jesus says to them, "Come to me. If you are thirsting, let him come unto me and drink. Drink of the waters of spiritual life, of forgiveness, of peace, of strength, of fruit. Receive salvation full and free, everlasting life spiritually, know hope and purpose, and be a blessing to others. Come unto me and drink." Well, this morning, if you are thirsting, if you realize something about the emptiness of life and the absolute need of a spiritual fulfillment in your life, you can find this fulfillment in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who says to you, "Come unto me and drink." The Saviour's fulfilling invitation. But then we read, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14 and verse 15, we read of the Saviour's urgent invitation found in the parable of the feast. In Luke chapter 14, and verse 15. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, A certain man gave a supper, and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, Come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have brought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it, I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I brought five yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so the servant came and reported those things to the master. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lamed and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, Go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. And so we have here the Saviour's urgent invitation found here in the parable of the feast. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to us here about the danger of making excuses of why not to come, why the time is not right to come to the Lord Jesus. So the first man said, Look, I brought some land, and I need to go and look at the land. Well, it's supper time. What? Is he going to go and look at the land in the dark? I must go and see it? Is that the best time to go and view a plot of land? Another said he had purchased some oxen and he's got to go and prove them. Well, would you go to a garage and purchase a car, and after you've handed over the money, then take it for a test drive? No, you prove these things before you purchase them. So again, this was an excuse. Another, in a way, I think even more serious, was he was using the excuse of his wife. I've married a wife. I cannot come. So his wife becomes the excuse. So he hides behind his wife. These excuses. There is a great sin in prevarication with God, to treat God as second best, to despise and reject his sincere invitations. Come, for all things are now ready. Consider your own life this morning. Are you making excuses to why not address the issue of your sin? Maybe you get up in the morning and you feel this guilt. Perhaps in the middle of the night it weighs down heavily upon you. And you get up and you realize that this is an urgent need, but then there are many distractions during the day, and you use those distractions as a means of tempering the sense of guilt. And you're putting off the need to come to the Lord Jesus. But maybe Christ has no attraction to you. He's an irrelevance. He's despised in your mind. There are much more important issues in life than dealing with my soul. Your family, your career, your health, your wealth, your house, your flat, your image, your pleasure, your relationships. But do you ever stop and consider what you are really rejecting? What you are really rejecting is a right relationship with God in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, which is your absolute need. But it's more than this. That is incredible and absolutely essential, but it develops on. You are rejecting eternal glory for an eternity of regret. If only I had done it differently, pain. That is what hell will be like, if only I had come. If only I had come to the Lord Jesus, this will be devastating. What must it be to have eternal regret? If we have regrets in life, which we do, what would it be to have eternal regret? So the Lord Jesus says, come, for all things are now ready. It's urgent. But then I want us to look at the Saviour's knowing invitation, and that was is found in the passage that was read earlier in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. And there we read of the example of how Jesus was walking on the sea to the disciples. We pick up the account in verse 27 where the disciples were very afraid in verse 27 of Matthew 14. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. But Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out and said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now here we have the Saviour's knowing invitation to Peter. And here is a great encouragement for those putting their trust in the Lord Jesus. Notice here how Jesus clearly invites Peter to come to him. So he said, come. Well, faith in Jesus meant Peter had to accept the invitation by faith and get out of the boat. He had to put his life on that one word of invitation from Jesus, come. And so it is with us. Our whole being, our well-being, any hope of having a right relationship with God is wrapped up in this invitation to come, to respond to it, to come to the Lord Jesus. And so it was with Peter. If he wanted to go to the Lord Jesus, he had to accept the invitation and come. He had to get out of the boat. He had to put all his dependence upon the Lord Jesus. But what I want to notice here is Jesus, as the Son of God made man, when he invited Peter, he knew that his faith would falter. That actually Peter would take his eyes off him and he would begin to sink and Jesus would need to save him. And the point being for us is that Jesus does not invite us to follow him on the basis that we will never fail him, that we will always follow him perfectly. He invites us to come to him this morning knowing that fear will overcome us at times. We will stumble, we will begin to sink, and he will need to save us from severe difficulties in our life, but we're secure in his hand. But he does expect us to learn from these experiences. And faith was the issue that Peter had to learn about in this experience. So we can only follow and obey by faith in Christ Jesus. Your whole being dependent upon him. That's what it meant for Peter. And Jesus says, come. But he says, come, knowing how it will be with you. Well, we come to conclusion now, and I would ask you to turn with me to John chapter 6 and verse 37. And there we have the assuring invitation of the Lord Jesus. And he says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Now here we have the Saviour's assuring invitation. The invitation of the Lord Jesus here assures us that all who come to him in repentance and faith will be received. A guarantee that is secured and backed up by the sovereign will of the Father, who ordained your coming in eternity past. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. Him that comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Oh, by his grace, sovereign grace of God, the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin and need, granting to you the gift of repentance and faith. God ensures by his Spirit and his word, the gospel, that you look to Christ alone, wholeheartedly, knowingly, but not as a robot, but as a responsible person. Whatever state you are in, whatever condition you are in, whatever the past or the present or the future, Jesus receives sinners. Him that comes to me, I will by no means cast out. This is his word of promise, his guarantee, his assurance. Oh, the Saviour's assuring invitation. It is a triune God invitation. The sovereignty of God the Father, the invitation of God the Son, and the effective working power of the Holy Spirit of God. All these invitations, they are wonderful, they are wholesome, they are sincere, they are for time and for eternity in their effect, if we are responding to them. And they are meant to encourage us this morning. That is the purpose of our message to you this morning. To encourage you to come to such a wonderful Saviour, to such a gracious Saviour, to such a compassionate Saviour, to such a forgiving Saviour, to such a true Saviour, to such an almighty Saviour, to such a kind Saviour, to such a good Shepherd who's given his life to save the sheep, his sheep. All these invitations we have considered this morning, they have different characteristics, but they reveal to us this morning, without a shadow of doubt, from the Word of God, God who cannot lie, the gracious, evangelistic heart of Jesus Christ the Lord. Come. Amen.